Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Well, today we want to take up a second example of how to interpret the Old Testament Scriptures. The first one, which we examined last week, was taken from Acts chapter 2. The second one that we're going to look at today and probably tomorrow is in Acts chapter 15. Now, you recall that all of this comes from the closing verses of Romans chapter 16, where Paul says, "Now to him who is able to establish you according to my gospel and the revelation of Jesus Christ, or rather in the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery kept secret since the world began, but now made manifest, and by the prophetic scriptures made known to all nations, according to the commandment of the everlasting God for obedience to the faith." Now, there are a lot of things said in those verses, but the main point for our purposes is that New Testament revelation is clearer than Old Testament revelation. In fact, it tells us here that New Testament revelation is given to help us understand the veiled aspects of the Old Testament, what is called here a mystery. And thus we come to a very important rule of biblical interpretation, namely that we must give New Testament scriptures priority over Old Testament scriptures in our interpretation of scripture. It's not that the New Testament scriptures are any more inspired, or even that they're any more important, except in the sense that, by the design of God, they have greater clarity that will help us to understand the more obscure parts of the Old Testament. And so this teaches us that we should view the Old Testament through the lens of the New, not vice versa. In other words, we should not, in our interpretation, we should not start in the Old Testament, work out all of our interpretations by a detailed analysis of the Old Testament text, and then adjust New Testament passages to fit the interpretation which we have already arrived at. But rather, we should start with a careful analysis of the New Testament and let that information inform us in our interpretation of the Old. Now, there are scores, perhaps even hundreds of chapters of prophecy in the Old Testament. Some are very weighty. There are dozens of Old Testament citations in the New Testament. Now, it seems to me that what we need to do is study those quotations, those citations first, and learn from the inspired New Testament writers how to interpret the Old. If we can learn how they interpreted the Old Testament, then that'll get us started in the direction for how we should interpret the Old Testament, don't you think? And so let the knowledge of New Testament writers interpreting the Old set a pattern for the remainder of the Old Testament, the majority of which does not find itself quoted in the New, but nevertheless there are so many passages that are, that it can give us a very good springboard to get us started in the right direction. And so last week we looked at Acts chapter 2, verses 16 through 28, as it quoted Joel chapter 2, verses 28 through 32. Today I'd like for us to look at Acts chapter 15, verses 16 through 18, which is a quotation of Amos chapter 9, verses 11 and 12. Now, first of all, before we look at the text in Acts chapter 15, let us consider the context, what leads up to the statement that we're going to look at. And let me read it first, the text, Acts 15:16 through 18. After this, I will return and will rebuild the tabernacle of David, which has fallen down. I will rebuild its ruins and I will set it up so that the rest of mankind may seek the Lord, even all the Gentiles who are called by my name, says the Lord, who does all these things. And that is a quotation from Amos chapter 9, verses 11 and 12. Now, what's going on in Acts chapter 15? Well, there was a crisis in the early church, precipitated by those that we call Judaizers, though that term is not used in the New Testament. And Judaizers were Jews who claimed to have come to faith in Christ. Whether they were truly born again or not, it's very difficult to tell. Some of them obviously had not. Paul makes that very clear in Galatians. Some of them had not. Maybe most of them had not. But at any rate, they claimed to be followers of Christ, and they were members of the New Testament churches, particularly the church in Jerusalem, but they kept interjecting Old Testament law into New Testament requirements, even requirements for salvation. They said, except you be circumcised after the law of Moses, you can in no wise be saved. That's what we read, Acts 15:1. And certain men came down from Judea, that's where Jerusalem is, and taught the brethren, unless you are circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved. So they were not only adding works to the message of the gospel, adding works in addition to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as the basis for justification, apparently, but they were inserting Old Testament ceremonial requirements as the works which must be done. The requirement of circumcision, except you be circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved. Now, the response to this threat to the gospel was Paul and Barnabas came to Jerusalem with some others and asked for a conference. I don't know if they called the conference or if James called the conference, but a conference was scheduled, and Paul and Barnabas came, and they arrived, and they reported to the church that they had been preaching the gospel, faith in Jesus Christ as the way of salvation, faith in Jesus Christ alone, justification by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, not plus circumcision, not plus baptism, not plus anything, justification by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. They've been preaching this among the Gentiles, and God has been saving Gentiles and making it very clear that he has sanctioned this version of the gospel, salvation by faith in the finished work of Christ, not salvation by circumcision. And their report was challenged by the Judaizers. Verse 5, but some of the sect of the Pharisees who believed rose up, saying, it is necessary to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses, these people who have already believed in Jesus Christ. And so with that, they called the council of the church. And that council is recorded in verses 6 through 12. Peter, the venerable Peter, the leading apostle, spoke first. And he told how that God had sent him to Cornelius, a Gentile, and had saved Cornelius by believing in Jesus Christ alone, and had proved his salvation by sending the Holy Spirit upon him, apparently with miraculous sign gifts, before Cornelius had even been baptized in water. And then Paul and Barnabas reported what they had been doing. We read in verse 12, then all the multitude kept silence and listened to Barnabas and Paul declaring how many miracles and wonders of God had worked through them among the Gentiles. In other words, these miracles were the attestation of God's approval upon the message of the gospel. That's why signs and wonders, miracles, were given in the first century, to sort this sort of thing out. What is the true gospel? Well, God put his seal upon the gospel of Paul, the gospel of Barnabas, the gospel of Peter, the gospel of justification by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. God put his seal upon that gospel by miracles, signs, wonders, speaking in tongues, and so forth. It's evident, therefore, that this was the gospel that God sanctioned, not the gospel of the Judaizers, that you must be circumcised after the law of Moses. Well, after the give and take of the council, after people had said what they wanted to say, the Judaizers said what they wanted to say, Paul and Barnabas, Peter, others said what they wanted to say, then James begins to summarize. Verse 13, and after they had become silent, James answered, saying, Men and brethren, listen to me. Simon, that Peter, has declared how God at the first visited the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. And with this the words of the prophets agree, just as it is written. Now he's going to quote from Amos. After this I will return and will rebuild the tabernacle of David, which has fallen down. I will rebuild its ruins, and I will set it up, so that the rest of mankind may seek the Lord, even all the Gentiles who are called by my name, says the Lord, who does all these things. So James refers to Peter's report, how God, by Peter, first visited the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. And then he finds cooperation for this activity of Peter and Paul and Barnabas from the Scriptures. James says this agrees with what the prophets have spoken, as it is written. And then he quotes from Amos chapter 9, verses 11 and 12. And we just read it. I've read it twice now in this broadcast. But there's a time frame indicated. The time frame is after this. After this, I will return. There's an action indicated. God, of course, is speaking here. After this, I will return. And I will do something. I will return and rebuild the tabernacle of David, which has fallen down. David's failed dynasty. And what's the purpose for that? So that the rest of mankind may seek the Lord. Even the Gentiles who are called by my name. And then there's a certification. Says the Lord who does all these things. So there is a time, an action, a purpose, and a certification. You'll find it in Acts. If you go back and look at Amos 9, 11, and 12, you find basically these same elements. And so the sequence is clear. There is a time of divine visitation and a rebuilding of David's house, which has fallen down. That, of course, refers to the low condition into which God's people, Israel, had fallen. The Davidic dynasty had been broken down. It became weaker and weaker and weaker until eventually there was no throne of David. There was no nation of Israel. They were subjugated by Gentile nations. But God said, the time will come when I will rebuild the house of David, the tabernacle of David, in order that Gentiles may seek the Lord. Now, what does this mean? Well, that, of course, is the question, and we'll have just a little bit of time today, and we'll have to take it up in more detail tomorrow. But some would say, well, that's saying that at the end of time, God's going to do this, but that gives permission for Gentiles to be brought into the family of God now. But that is not what this seems to be saying to me. This seems to be saying to me the same thing that Peter said on the day of Pentecost about Joel's prophecy. This is that. This is what Joel was talking about. And now, here in Acts chapter 15, it seems to be saying, this is what Amos was talking about. And we will look at it more carefully, Lord willing, tomorrow. Until then, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.